Introducing the Faith Series, a transformative audio sermon experience crafted by the visionary minds at spiritnerds.org. Each week, we bring you a curated collection of powerful sermons from theologically sound preachers around the globe, delving into diverse topics that address the depths of our spirit.
A shout of praise. We still got our praise on. Hallelujah. Such a joy to be in God's presence. We're going to be praying this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. Praise the Lord. What a morning, what a day. Praise God forevermore. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. And we are those laborers. Hallelujah. If you know, guys, we are on a campaign, the Andrew campaign, which we are going out and winning the world to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Are you a part of that campaign? Hallelujah. We're going to be praying this morning, declaring that laborers are recruited from amongst us. Say with me, say, Father, we pray that you recruit laborers from amongst us for the Andrew campaign. We declare that every single member of this church is running with the vision of the campaign. We declare that souls are won into the kingdom with ease and are established in Petra. Do you believe that? Go ahead this morning and begin to pray this morning. We declare that laborers are recruited from amongst us for this campaign. In the name of the Lord Jesus. From amongst us, laborers are recruited. Bible says the harvest is ready. The harvest is ripe. The fields are all white. Manda sudo grodoska tabashande. From amongst us, laborers are raised. Laborers are recruited in the name of the Lord Jesus. And every member of Petra is running with the vision of this campaign. Every member is running with a vision of the Andrew campaign. Our hearts are burning for soul. Our hearts are burning for the harvest. In the name of the Lord Jesus. With ease, souls are won into the kingdom of God. And yet they are established in Petra Christian Center. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lebrakato som de vegedegeska. Mralanda som de vesande gedebehe. Malenge sota frada. Friends, go ahead and pray this morning. Malaga som de gedehe. Bragoska from all around this city. Souls are won into the kingdom. The power of darkness is destroyed. The hold of sin is destroyed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in their numbers they are saved. In their numbers the souls are harvested into the kingdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Brakando sum de vegedegedehe. Brakala banda sum de gedegedehe. Bakuska ledesha. Legirokondo sum de gedegede. And yes, these souls are established in Petra. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Legende som de vregedegede. Malokos kom de vegede. Every member a soul winner. Every member a laborer. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Brakondo som de gedede. Meledegedege som de gedegaha. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. From amongst us, laborers are raised. In the name of the Lord Jesus. From amongst us, laborers are raised for the Andrew campaign. And yes, we are running with this vision. Every member running with the vision of the campaign. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we give you praise and we thank you. We give you praise and we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for with ease the souls are won into the kingdom. And yes, they are establishing this church. We give you praise and we thank you. Would you go ahead and give the Lord praise this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please, you may be seated in God's presence. Welcome to church. It's going to be an amazing service. We trust God that it's going to be do great things in our midst. Believe God for an encounter and you're going to have it. Stay blessed as the choir leaders in worship. Thank you.
Praise God. Are we excited to be in church this morning? You don't look excited. Are we excited to be in church this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's promises are yes and amen. There is no word that will return void. So wherever you're seated, just begin to worship the King. Begin to adore the King. Pour your love on Him this morning. Thank Him for His faithfulness. Thank Him for His loving kindness. Thank Him for His mercies endures forever. He is King seated on the throne. He is King seated on the throne. Just lift your voice and extol the name of the Lord. Lift your voice. He wants to hear you talk to Him. Just lift your voice where you are.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness and you fill me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time.
For the nations of the world. We're going to ask for peace around the nations of the world. We're going to ask that the Lord would do a quick work and he would return quickly. He'll do a quick work that the power of darkness and the power of evil that holds the nations of the earth shall be broken, and that in the name of Jesus Christ we'll see a quick work bringing men to salvation, a mighty harvest of souls. just before the return of the Lord. Wherever you are, lift your hands to heaven and begin to pray. Don't wait for nobody to stir you up with music. Stop waiting for anyone to stir you up with music. Go ahead and pray wherever you are. You're a priest unto the Most High God. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and begin to pray. Begin to talk to God. Close your eyes and pray. Close your eyes and pray wherever you are. Begin to ask that there's a move of God's Spirit around the nations of the earth, bringing men to salvation. We deliver the nations from the power of darkness. We declare that the wars will cease in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the wars will cease in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the wars will cease in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and pray from the depth of your heart. Go ahead and pray. If you have to leave your seat, leave your seat. But make sure you're praying. Make sure you're praying. Make sure. There are many who are dying in wars who have not heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many who are dying of starvation, of wars, of these evils who have not heard of this gospel. Let's declare that a quick work will be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A quick work will be done in the nations of the earth. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Suramanda kagla graasto framande. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. It has to be effectual. It has to be fervent. It says it avails much. There's a kind of prayer that avails much. There's a kind of prayer that avails much. There's a kind of prayer that avails much. Go ahead and pray wherever you are. Giramanto frobonte che sei cala angolo sa chi cala ansta la parda gassaste rondo botta cavaliga shandele boco sahaya ziramanto cabadila aste zorobonte che chila bassasta frabante che shalamande che lo gonsa framande ronta cabacala bashanta la gades che la banto frobonte siga barrosca. Shavrabanta kasa kasa stafrabanta kabadila bashana na 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 bosha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. When Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, God said to Joshua, he said, tell the tribe of Reuben, tell those first 2.5 tribes that had received their inheritance on this other side of the Jordan, tell them that even though they have gotten their inheritance, that they better cross over and fight with their brethren to ensure that they get their inheritance. For even if you've gotten your own inheritance on this side of Jordan and your brethren have not entered their inheritance, those enemies would grow strong and come and displace you from your own inheritance. Did Jesus not say? He said, who do you think you are? What do you think you're better off than those nations? He said, those Jews that Herod killed and mixed their blood with the sacrifice. He said, do you think you're better than them? Do you think it's because you're more righteous than them? Or you think you hear of the things happening in the nations of the earth and you say, oh, we are safe. No, it's coming to your backyard very soon. The one who will not pray, the very things he's callous about will take him out. The one who will not pray. So you have a lot of Christians who think, oh, it's fine because, well, I'm cool, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me and my family. It's coming for you. It's coming for you. Joshua said, he said, don't think because you have your inheritance on this side. You think they've not thrown rockets into your nation. It's coming to your backyard. You think you're safe in Nigeria? Or you think the enemy has certain nations he wants to destroy? No, he does not hate nations. He hates people. That's why you have to be smart. You can't listen, you can't continue this nonsense of asking for miracles every day. You and your miracle will perish. So you better wake up. Why do you think they said churches should not meet?
then you can have political gatherings. Whatever number you want in political gatherings, you can have, but churches should not meet. How stupid. Because our strength is in our gathering. And when we raise our voice to God, He hears us. Don't be distracted. There's a war going on in the realm of the spirit. Don't be distracted. So when we say pray, you better pray with all of your heart. You better pray as though you meant it. Because your own insurance is your intercession. He's not asking God to save you. He's not asking God to deliver you. He's not asking God to build a hedge around you. No, your own deliverance is your intercession for your brethren who are suffering. Your own deliverance, your own insurance is in your intercession. Listen, the seed of deliverance is intercession. That's the seed we sow so that when trouble comes, we are delivered out of it. It's the intercession that we have raised for others in the day of their own trouble. Lift your hands right now and pray for the nations of the earth. That peace has come to the nations of the earth. I want you to pray for the nations of the earth. That peace has come. Peace has come. Peace has come. Raise your voice and pray. That peace has come to the nations of the earth. That peace has come to the nations of the earth. Peace has come to the nations of the earth. Peace has come to the nations of the earth. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The desolations have stopped. The destructions have ceased. The destructions have ceased. Peace has come. He's called the Prince of Peace. Peace has come to the nations of the earth. Koramanda kagashalamanda ligo sasta frabante liga bahasaste. Leron shaliga bakasasta frabanta kabadila bashata kabahaya. Jorobonta kabariga sakata kabante legoshati. Enthromonte kegeskosta fraban shalamanda. Igoro shaniga lakasta kabadila bashande legebokosataya. Esorobonta kabathila gomskaliata la basakata kabahaya. Eramanda branamashane la rabakosakata kabe. Kerobonto frobonto shigabatha kasasta frabante kebahaste. You are Judah's lion, Jesus reigns. You are the King of Zion. You are Judah's Lion. Reign, Jesus, reign. You're the King of Zion. Judah's Lion. You know, I was listening, reading up about the history of the church in Nigeria. And I stumbled on the story of a certain couple, a young lady, who at 10 years of age, missionaries came to her church. And she heard of Dark Africa, an English missionary. So she got married. 3 months after her marriage, herself and her husband packed all that they had and they came to East Africa here, Eastern Nigeria, a remote village. And for 40 years of their marriage, they crisscrossed all these remote villages, planting Anglican churches like we know it today. They would go from one village to another, they would plant churches. Go from one village to another, they'll plant churches. Her husband died from malaria. So she was left in Nigeria as a widow. She continued. I hear the lady died sometimes 1997 or something like that. She continued till she died. And it was her remains that were taken out of Nigeria back to England to be buried. One time before she died, they asked her, why are you doing this? She said, because there is no difference between myself and these people. She said, there's no justification that I have heard something that they have not heard. There's no justification. I heard of another couple who came. It was Eastern Nigeria as well. Her husband as well died. For whatever reason, they would die. And this time they came with their son. The son too died. She traveled back to England. The missionary society that sent her, when they saw her, they were afraid. They began to beg her. Oh, we're sorry. She said, no, don't be sorry. She had gone back to sell all that her husband had. Everything to his name. And she said, this is the money. Can we send more people? Say, give me my own share. Let me go back. She sold all they had to their name when she was to be mourning. Everything. And came back here again to this country. Listen, the Christianity that we practice today came by the blood of men. It came by the blood of men. You can't be casual about it. It came by the blood of men. Men sacrificed for you to be here today. Men sacrificed. Listen, their sacrifice was not given so that we can be a bunch of liabilities to the kingdom. That's not the reason they died. They envisaged a people who were born with greater passion. They envisaged the people who love not their lives unto death. If the government says don't meet today now, don't have gatherings, there are Christians who won't go to church. May we die for the name that we believe. May we be crucified for what we have believed. May we not be cowards in the day of adversity. May we not be cowards. May we not be cowards for what we have believed. Listen, he died for us. The least we can do is die for him. That's the least. Christianity only starts when your life ceases to make meaning to you. When it loses its value. And the only value in your life is what it can stand for his cause. That's only when Christianity starts. But this whole bunch of rubbish of just gathering around to get something from God. And when it's easy and pleasurable, we're fine. And when it's tough, everybody runs away from it. It has to stop. Listen, I was praying in the middle of the night. The Lord told me, he said, the line has been drawn. He says, the house of Saul will grow weaker and weaker. Watch it. There are ministries that you celebrate. You would remember that I told you. There are ministries you celebrate. In 3 years' time, they will not exist again. Not because God hates it. Or hates them. But what they have stood for is not the way of the Lord. Christianity is not about social media and playing to the gallery and being politically correct. That's all Christianity is. God forbid that he died to raise such people. God forbid. God forbid that he died to raise such people. You have them in their mosques. They're indoctrinated from childhood. And they will strap themselves with bombs just for 70 virgins. And there's a Christian who can't even stand to preach the name of Jesus in a mall. What a shame. What a shame. See, when they gave their hearts to Christ in those days, they knew that they had signed debts. They were simply saying, now that we have accepted Jesus, at any time we can die and we're okay with it. They can come for us at any time. We're okay with it. The fastest growing church in the world is the church of Iran. It's the fastest growing church in the world. It's modeled after the church in China, underground churches. I was watching an interview with one of the pastors. These men, because of the persecution of violent Islam, cannot come out publicly like we gather. But they are still the fastest growing church in the world. We have all the liberties. Go and read it. The Church of Iran. for 4 years consecutively has been recorded to be the fastest growing church in the world. It overtook the church in China. Maybe you don't know it. Some of the sheikhs and their leaders are born again now. Maybe you don't know it. There are men who are laying down their lives to get this gospel there. We have all the liberties. You are angry that you are not yet married. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer praise to you. Lifting my praise to you. As a one more time, lift your hands and sing it. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I need to do, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my life to you. Time, come on.
Do you know those children in Israel are shouting, Emmanuel? Those children are crying. What is their wrong? Those children dying of starvation, the rockets hitting their houses. What is their wrong? They are shouting, Emmanuel! For 9 months, and somebody kidnaps that child, and we're here in Abuja having nice church. When we have the battle, we have the tools of battle, the weapons of warfare. We have the name, we have the blood. Sometimes it's just because it has not come too close home, that's why. But it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. You think you can send your children to Cambridge and Oxford, wherever it is? It's coming home. It's coming home. Our only insurance is intercession. That's our only insurance. That's all we have. That's all we have.
Oh,
investment that you can make in your life in this time and in this season is developing for yourself a personal and disciplined life of prayer. That's the greatest investment. You'd have no investment greater than that. Exodus chapter 25. And if our meetings go in a different direction than expected, that's fine. That's very fine. We'll just go with the Holy Spirit. Exodus chapter 25. We've been studying on the subject, the priesthood and sacrifices, right? Exodus chapter 25 and verse 9. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 9. It says, or we'll read from verse 8, because that's an important portion of the Bible. It says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. So what's the reason, verse 8 please, what's the reason why, thank you, you can have this. What's the reason why they wanted to make a sanctuary? God wanted a sanctuary to be built. Come on, talk to me. What's the reason there in scriptures? That I may dwell amongst them. So God's desire was to dwell with the nation of Israel. He said, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. We're going to come back to that. That God, I mean, you read your scriptures, God has a shameless desire to dwell with mankind. And I use that word shameless because how many of you know that if you are the bigger one, you want to use style to show your interest, right? But God almost shamelessly, just throughout scriptures, the Bible says that God would come in the cool of the day to come visit with Adam and Eve. You remember the story, right? And all through scriptures. And so here again, you see, the scripture says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst them. So God wanted a sanctuary, not for the religious exercises in the sanctuary. All of those things was for one purpose. For what? That I may dwell amongst them. Now, if you study Isaiah 61, I believe, the second verse, it tells you that, let's read it. Isaiah 61, we're going to come back to Exodus in just a bit. Hallelujah. Say this with me, I am a priest. You know, priests make their music, right? I don't think you got what I just said. Isaiah 66, pardon me. You know, I came in and I found out that for whatever reason, there was no electrical power and some things were not working fine. But it was nice to see us just worship the Lord and praise the Lord without the accompaniments. Because that's the real deal, right? You ain't going to be able to take all these folks into your room, are you? So you should be able to do it without them. Praise God. All of this is for the unbelievers. Just for them to like us. Within ourselves are the guitars, the keyboards, are you for what I'm saying here? Praise God forevermore. Isaiah 66 verse 2. Boy, oh boy, what an anointing. For all those things which, let's read from verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So God was looking for a place of rest. And he started out with this tabernacle of Moses. He said, let them build unto me a tabernacle. And the essence of the tabernacle is not all that goes on in the tabernacle. The real essence is, I want to dwell amongst them. Hallelujah.
So God all through the ages wanted to dwell with man. We're going to come back to that thought in a bit. But verse 9, it says, according to all that I showed thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall he make it. After the pattern, it's got to be accurate. It's got to be exact. Verse 40 of that same chapter 25. It says, and look, that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Now, so I want you to write this. Accuracy is important in the priesthood. Accuracy is important in the priesthood. And I'm going to explain what I mean in just a bit. Did you read when they offered incense that God did not want? Have you observed that all of the actions, and this may help you in interpreting scriptures, all of those actions of God in the Old Testament that some of you wonder, why did God do that? They were all related to the priesthood. For example, when the ark was being carried, you remember the story? And Uzzah decided to help the ark because it was falling off. And the Bible says God was angry and smote him dead. Now, how many of you have read that before and you're wondering, what's the big deal? He was even trying to help you. If this thing falls off your bread, the manna in it, Aaron's rod in it, the commandments, tables of commandments which were in that ark will spill out. And the man was simply trying to help you, God. What's the problem? Did you read one other time when Aaron's children decided to offer up incense? And God was upset with them. And fire came out and destroyed them. The acts, now follow this. Some of those extreme acts of judgment that you observe in the old covenant were all related to the priesthood. They could miss it in every other thing. Some other little areas, it was fine for you to miss it. But when it came to the priesthood, God was clear. He says, according to the pattern thereof. So accuracy is a non-negotiable in the priesthood. I'm going to come to what I mean by that in just a bit. It's a non-negotiable in the priesthood. I would to God that you'd ensure that you make all the meetings, because you're going to be hearing things that you probably never heard in your life. And it would be helpful for you for the next phase of your life where God is taking you to. Okay, so accuracy is important. It's important. Now let's step back a bit. We studied in Exodus, the 19th chapter. You can study it for yourself. That God said to the children of Israel, if you'd obey me and do all that I've asked you to do, all my commandments, you'd be unto me a nation of priests and a holy people, special unto me. Now we know that Israel could not fulfill that obligation. So God sent Jesus, and in Jesus that obligation was fulfilled. 1 Peter chapter 2. And you read the 5th verse and the 9th verse. It says that we are being built up a spiritual house. We're being edified, built up, that we might offer unto God spiritual sacrifices. He also has lively stones, living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable. So there are sacrifices that are not acceptable. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now he's referring to all of us. So he expects that you offer spiritual sacrifices. You ought to know what the sacrifices are. You ought to know when to offer them. You ought to know how to offer them. It says the essence of our being built up is that we may offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God. So the question then is, what are these spiritual sacrifices? How do we offer these spiritual sacrifices? When do we offer these spiritual sacrifices? To what essence do we offer it? What is the effect on our lives? I told you last Sunday that the Levite, the priest, now, by the way, just to make a distinction, you all know that all priests were Levites, right? But not all Levites were priests. Okay, so it'd be nice for you to know that. All priests were taken from the tribe of Levi. but not all Levites were priests, but every Levite was condemned in quotes to the tabernacle, to serve as at the tabernacle. Okay, now the ones who were priests were taken from the lineage of Aaron, okay, and his four children. And when you study the camp of Israel in the Old Testament, when they were in that wilderness, you'd have these four children, these four families that came out of Aaron. They were the ones who surrounded the ark, the tabernacle of Moses, pardon me. The tabernacle was in the middle, and you had on this side the four families of Aaron. And round about those families, you then had all the 12 tribes of Israel. So the setting, and this is key, the setting in that Old Testament, when in the wilderness, whenever you go, you look into the wilderness, what you'd see is the ark right there in the middle of them. And as long as they kept that setting, the ark had to be in the middle when they were stationary, or the ark was ahead when they were moving. So if they were stationary, the ark had to be in the middle and everybody camped around the ark. But when they were moving on their journeys, the ark had to be ahead of them. Okay, so you had these families of Aaron surrounding the ark directly. And then thereafter you had the 12 tribes of Israel. But God's desire was not that it was just the families of Aaron who had access to the ark. He wanted everybody to be priests unto him. But then Israel could not fulfill that purpose. And so God had to call out these tribe of Levi and says, you'd be unto me priest, and some of you would be special priest unto me. And one of you, in all of your generations, will be the high priest. And so you had Aaron, and then you had his children who took over thereafter. Now, so you had this office of the priesthood, which was very special in the heart of God. Like I told you, it was the what you call the leading dispensation, leading office in every dispensation. God always put the priest ahead. He was foremost. He was priority in the heart of God. And what God did was, he said, you would not desire the things of the world like your brethren desire them. So your desire will be to me. This is important. Your desire will be to me. Your desire is not to the world, is not to everything like the world desires them. They want houses, they want lands, they want cars, they want all of this. Those things are beautiful. But he says that the portion of Levi is the Lord. So Levi was mandated to make God and God alone his obsession. He was mandated to make God and God's purposes his obsession. Now this is important. It's important because it changes how we live our lives. It even changes your prayers. Because what your obsession is always shows up in your prayers. It shows up in your pursuits. It shows up in the conduct of your life. But God said to Levi, you will have no portion in what they have portions in. Allow them go for it. I am your obsession. I am your portion. I am your inheritance. So Levi was always Godward. Are you following what I'm saying here? He was always Godward. His attention, his focus, his obsession was towards the Lord. And do you know that God has not changed his desire? That's still what he wants today. But many of God's children have not been taught or trained to live their lives this way. And this is what God wants. Your needs are met if you live your life this way. Hallelujah. Are you still here this morning? So God said, Levi, you'd be my priest. And you will serve me. And then he gave them offerings, sacrifices. He detailed for them what he wanted them to offer to him. How he wanted them to offer it. And all of these were types and shadows of the Old Testament. Of the New Testament. In essence, all these sacrifices that he said to offer were all types and shadows of what he wants to be offered in the New Testament. And that's why Peter says in 1 Peter 2:5, he says to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, what are these spiritual sacrifices? I want you to write them down. I gave you one last week. You remember the first one I gave you last week? Does anybody remember? You all don't remember because I didn't say it. We just did it. So because I didn't, because I know I did not say number one. So you're not sure what number one is. You're sure? Does anybody know? That might just be the $100 you've been believing for. Somebody said presents. So presents is a sacrifice. No, I told you. Really? Worship? Did I say that? Somebody did like this. I'm not sure what that is. Okay. So let me give it to you so that you have it from the scriptures. Go very quickly to Hosea, the book of Hosea. Hosea is just after Revelations. Hosea chapter 14. Now, I don't know why you're all laughing. Somebody actually turned to Revelations. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2. I want us to see something beautiful in God's word this morning. Hallelujah. Say this, I'm a priest. Say it again, I'm a priest. Very important. Good. Can we all read Hosea chapter 14 verse 2 together? One to go. Take with you words. What does it say to take with you? Words. Come on. What are you taking along with you? Words. He says, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So we will render the calves of our lips. Do you see that? He says, take with you words. Don't take bullocks. The dispensation is changing. It's a new covenant. Don't take with you rams, pigeons, turtle doves. He says, take with you words. He says, so shall we render the calves of our lips. Hebrews the 13th chapter, the 15th verse. Let's look at it together. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Do we have it? Good. He says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. By who? Jesus. Okay, go back to Hosea 14:2, because I need you to observe something. Hosea 14, verse 2. I want you to see it. It says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto the Lord, take away all our iniquity and receive us graciously. Now, he has received us graciously. You see that? He has taken away our iniquities. Now that he's received us graciously and taken away our iniquities, what do we do? So shall we render. Because he has received us graciously. Because he has taken away our iniquities. He says, so now we'll render the calves of our lips. Calves there refers to the bullocks, the youngs of the rams, the goats. He says, no more the calves of our hands, but of our lips. So we don't take rams in our hands, we take it in our mouth. Are you following this here? Now, back to Hebrews 13, 15. So you'd understand what Paul was referring to. By him, therefore, now that he's received us graciously and cleansed us from our iniquities, he says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is what? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the first spiritual sacrifice that we ought to offer is what we call ministering to the Lord. Ministering to the Lord. The calves of our lips, the fruit of our lips, different other words, giving thanks to his name. Offering ministry unto the Lord. And I shared with you last week briefly what that refers to. Where you are ministering, bringing words. Remember what he said, take with you words. You offer your words as sacrifice unto the Lord. You use your words to exalt him, to adore him, to describe his graciousness, his glory and his beauty. And you're doing that for as long as it requires and as long as it takes. Glory to God. All right, so that's the first sacrifice that we bring before the Lord, that we offer to the Lord. It's called ministering to the Lord. Acts the 13th chapter, it says that as they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, ministering unto the Lord. Now, number two. These may seem quite obvious, but it is not for in practice for most people. Number two is the sacrifice of prayer.
You know, there are people who offer, who pray prayers, who say prayers. But when you study through the scripture, he never talks about saying prayers or praying prayers. Now, does that mean there's anything wrong? And I need you to get this. Does that mean there's anything wrong with saying prayers? Like somebody says, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Or somebody says, let's now pray. Let's pray over our food. Let's pray over the house. Let's pray over the building. Is there anything wrong with all of that? Absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you study through the scriptures, there's a term that's consistently used, particularly from the time of Jesus into the time of the apostles. It always says they offered up prayers. Now, that changes everything. Because when you say, I prayed or I said my prayer, what you're basically saying is, well, I spoke to the Lord and made my request known unto him. But when he says he offered up prayer, it's saying that your prayer in and of itself is an offering. Now, there's a difference with this. Glory to God. There's a difference with this. Hebrews, the fifth chapter. I wanted you to see this. Hebrews, the fifth chapter. Hallelujah. And that's what it means when it says men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's talking about offering up prayer. Look at what he says in verse 6, just to give you context. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6. It says, as it said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So, what is he talking about? The priesthood of Jesus. He says, Jesus, you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's talking about the priesthood. So, everything else he tells us here is a reference to his priesthood. Are you following this here? Good. Now, what does he say next? He says, who in the days of his flesh, in the days of his priesthood in the flesh. Are you following this? Look at what it says. He says, oh boy. Usually, I discourage this always. But because of the way things have gone with the first service, there's a lot more I want to share. And whoever is putting together the second service, let's finish all the things we need to do quick enough so I get up to teach a bit more extensive in the second service. Because I wish I had time to show you some things. But look at this here. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers, he didn't say when he had prayed to God, his Father. It'd be right if he said that. But he said when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. So he gives us an idea of what this sacrifice of prayer is like. It is a partnership with God to enforce his will, whether in your life or in the world in general. Now, that is different from getting something from God. I'm going to explain the difference to you in just a bit. God's will in your life is healing, right? Now, do you know you can partner with him to enforce that will in prayer by offering up the sacrifice of prayer? Or you can pray it as a needy person and just looking for what God will do and trying to get God to do something. But the other fellow sees that no priest stands before God deformed. So now it's not about me being healed. It's about your purposes are hindered if I'm not healed. Hey, come on. So it's not about me being delivered from debt. It's about your purposes being fulfilled. And the Bible says that he offered a prayer to God. It was an offering. So God didn't see it as a request. He didn't see it as a liability trying to get something out of him. He saw it as an offering. Can your prayer be an offering? Yes. It's called the burning of incense. Revelation, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. You can study it for yourself. He says, this incense that was in the censer of the angel, he says, this was the prayer of the saints. That our prayers can rise as incense before the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look at what it says. He says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications. Now, everybody read how he offered it. So it gives you the attitude that comes with that offering. It gives you the attitude. For example, the Holy Ghost came on us here and we began to pray for the nations of the earth. There were those who just, oh, Rama, oh, Mama, did I kill anybody? It was my problem. God just help me and save me and my family. I'm okay. I'm fine. In Jesus' name, plus God minus Satan. Blood of Jesus. Blood of God. Blood of God. Amen. Who did Jesus kill? Why did he have to die? But the purposes of God had to be fulfilled. And hear this. The offering up of Jesus was not on the cross. He was in prayer. Oh boy. Did you ever read that the Bible tells us that Jesus offered himself up to the eternal spirit? He says he offered himself up to the eternal spirit. How did he do that? When did he do that? Do you think that the cross in and of itself has any redemptive value? The cross was a stick. There were two others on crosses. It was not the cross that brought redemption. Hey, come on. You know, I know them folks. They're going to cut that out and say, there's a pastor in Nigeria who doesn't believe that the cross brought redemption. But that's not what I mean. It wasn't the cross in and of itself. It was an ordinary stick. His stick was no different from the stick of Barabbas. It was no different from the thieves beside him. It was the exact stick they were standing on. The same nails. But the Bible says he offered himself up to the eternal spirit. Oh boy, what does that mean? It means you can have a chorister who comes here and gives us all the riffs and the nice ad libs, and we all love it, but he ain't no offering. Because the stick is the same. But another comes up here, cooked in prayer. Oh boy. And as he or she is even walking up the stage, right there under the breath, their confidence is not in how they can sing, but they rejoice in Christ Jesus and worship God in the spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying here? We're talking about prayer becoming your life. It is how you offer up what you do unto the Lord. He says that he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. So that you know how important this is. He ends the thought again in verse 10. He says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. In essence, there are no priests without prayer. Prayer defines the priest. Are you following what I'm saying here? And this kind of praying, because the very same thing that Israel may be praying for, the priest may be praying for. But the purpose and the motivation is very different. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's very different. There is a sense of responsibility that the priest has that changes the purpose and the motivation of his prayers. Even when the needs are his personal needs, the motivation and the purpose is not himself. It is the will and the kingdom of God fulfilled through the meeting of those needs. So Jesus was saved from death, not so that he can be saved by himself, but because he had to be saved for us to be saved. Are you following what I'm saying here? So prayer as an offering. Prayer as an offering. And this offering is not casual. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's not casual. It's not casual at all. It's not casual at all. For example, you find yourself going through challenges in life. Maybe you're hedged in a certain place. Now you can go to God and say, oh God, please help me, oh God, please help me, oh God, please help me. But you can offer up prayers as a sacrifice in that place. You can. Glory to God. Are you with me? Okay, go back to that Hebrews chapter 5. What does it tell you about the prayer that is an offering? What does it tell you? With what? Strong what? Come on, read it. Strong what? Can I have it up the screen? With strong what? Crying and tears. Which, so it's not the Lord, I love you and just be nice. No. You're working something. You're trying to birth something. It's in this kind of prayer that there's the agony of your soul. There's the labor of your spirit. The travail of your soul to bring something to bear. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's called the travail of your soul. Something is coming out from your spirit. It's not just casual asking the Lord to do something. No, no, no. You're birthing something new. It's called strong crying. Not just crying. Strong crying and tears. If anybody was a man, Jesus was more a man. If they said Mary prayed this way, the guys would have said, oh, Mary, yeah, it's okay. Women like to cry. But strong crying and tears. That's the kind of prayer we're talking about. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That's the kind of prayer we're talking about. And I realize that there are things in our lives that we will never see till we discipline ourselves to pray like this. The things we'll never see in our lives. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, till we discipline ourselves to pray this way. Hallelujah. You still here? My time is up. I wish I had all the time. Oh, that you'd understand that the only thing that entered the holiest of all, always, in the Old Testament, the high priest could enter only once, but something entered always. It's called the incense. Because it burnt morning and evening. And always that incense will seep into the holiest of all. Even from the Old Testament. The high priest could only enter once, but incense entered always. Prayer. The connection with the heart of the Father. Glory to God. So we must understand what prayer does, what it is, why it's important. It's not what we use to get something from God. It is what we use to enforce His will in our lives and in the earth in general. It's what we use. So prayer has become a partnership. It's that offering we now offer that triggers certain activities in heaven in our behalf. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So what do? Sometimes all you have to do is to lock yourself up. Just lock yourself. Sometimes it's nice to find someone who has a spirit of prayer on him. Do you know there are those who have a spirit of prayer on them? It's not just praying. There are those who pray because it's nice and they do well by praying. There are those who have a spirit of prayer on them. The moment they say in the name of Jesus, it's almost as though the atmosphere shifts. It's a spirit of prayer. Many years ago, I knew I needed it. There was a young man in our school who had a spirit of prayer. This was my 300 level University of Lagos, 200 or 300 level. And he would pray every night at the college field. And those nights, I would just go sit down and watch him pray. And as he prayed, I would pray along. He didn't know I was praying. I pray along. Because that spirit can be imparted. It can. But there has to be a desire for it. He does not give his pearls to swines. You have to know that you need it. Hear this. There's too much struggle to make things happen. God, never forget what I want to tell you now, Noel. In your life, He never told us to organize and make things happen. He told us to bet things. If the believer came by birth, everything in his life comes by birth. It's the law of first principle. So we birth things. And how do we birth things? By that spirit of prayer. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. And that spirit of prayer can mantle anybody. And by the way, it has seasons. There are times it's on you for 3 months nonstop. And you find yourself waking up at 11 p.m. or 12 midnight till 3 a.m. just praying consistently. If you find anyone with the spirit of prayer on him or her, don't despise the person. Stay around them till something lingers on you as well. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It's a spirit of prayer. It's a spirit of prayer. How does a man pray so much that his sweat was broke out and blood was coming out? Literally. How does a man pray that much? And yet in that same atmosphere, there are those who are sleeping. No, that's the way it is. Like we're praying now. You had those who just sat down, folded their hands. Could they have known, Pastor Diola? Could Peter have known that that moment was a moment that will never come again. I told you, there's what is called allotted prayers. There are moves of God's Spirit on us at times where those opportunities will never come back. There was never going to be another opportunity for Peter to join with Jesus. Never again. He had slept it away. Never again. Never again. If they had known the importance of that opportunity, that today we are seated because Jesus prayed. If they had known how important it is, if they had known, maybe they would have been more serious. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? The spirit of prayer. Smith Wigglesworth said something. He said, if the spirit does not move me, I'll move the spirit. So when you don't have a spirit of prayer on you yet, you must desire that spirit of prayer and discipline yourself. So you stay there to say, I'm going to pray till something comes on me. If it takes me 7 days, if it takes me 7 weeks, I'm going to continue this. My prayer life can't be so dry always. When I join Mixalot to pray, I've slept off. No. I it can't be that way. It can't be that way. The Christian who won't pray will be barren. The Christian who won't pray will be barren. We conceive in prayer. We travel in prayer. We bet in prayer. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you must understand that prayer is that offering that we offer to the Lord. Is a second offering. Hallelujah. One of the greatest good that God did for me in my life was that as a young man, early on in my life, I saw the importance of this. So I don't struggle with what many people struggle about prayer. No, I don't. I saw the importance of it. I saw the importance. Hallelujah. Well then, you're glad you're in church? I told you I just gave you a sneak peek in the first service. We're going to go deeper in the second service. Do you mind praying? Do you mind praying? Do you mind praying? Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray wherever you are. Go ahead and just pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Pray in the Holy Spirit wherever you are. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Can I have Hebrews 5 on the screen? Keep it on the screen. While every other person is praying in the Holy Ghost, we got just a minute or so to pray. We got just a minute or so to pray. We got just a minute or so to pray. With strong crying and tears. With strong crying and tears. With strong crying and tears. There's a spirit of prayer that's coursing through the auditorium this morning. There's a spirit of prayer crossing through the auditorium this morning. Go ahead and pray wherever you are. Kosa sela anga badila gashala mandi. Zorobonte ke galigos kera mandi. You got just about a minute more to pray. Soso snofromonte ke gela boni shala mandi ke gaskos snofromandi. So ke kela mangos ke liga basta. I want you to pray like you're hungry. I want you to pray like you're hungry. I want you to pray like you're hungry. Now lift your two hands towards heaven and pray out loud in other tongues wherever you are.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible spiritual journey through the faith series brought to you by spiritnerds.org. We hope these powerful sermons have touched your heart, expanded your understanding, and ignited a flame of faith within you. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Continue to explore the depths of faith, seek wisdom, and embrace the transformative power of the gospel in your daily life. Stay connected with spiritnerds.org for more uplifting content as we strive to be the source of inspiration for millions of Christians worldwide.